A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
I'm Emily Forstner, your host, and today we're going to start off with Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, the very definition of kindness and togetherness. There's a particular image of Winnie the Pooh holding Piglet's hand on what looks like a very blustery day. Maybe you've seen it. It attaches to lots and lots of Winnie-inspired quotes. My favorite one is where Pooh says to the struggling Piglet, "You're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think." Inspirational. But really, how many of us believe it for ourselves? I mean, you are braver, sure, but me? Maybe not so much. Which is what caught my attention with today's episode with two stories. Two people who were braver, stronger, and smarter than they ever believed. One, a woman who turned 60 and had the metaphorical rug pulled right from underneath her, landing her hard and alone in the Matsu. And the other, a young man raised here who never had a rug to begin with. On the surface, the two stories have little in common except that image of Pooh holding Piglet's hand, because we're never meant to do these windstorms alone. And what we call today, braver than we believe.
My name's Peggy Provost, and I lived in Alaska years ago, but this time living in the Mat Valley, it's been for a little over two years now.
I first met Peggy right here at the station because she works here part-time under a grant from MAST. That's Mature Adult Seeking Skills Training. It's through the Alaska Department of Labor. She gets to work 4 hours a day, 5 days a week under this grant at a little over minimum wage. At the same time, she learns computer skills and more.
I'm learning Mac and learning the different programs. Soon I'll know how to take an interview like this one. So,
are you enjoying the work?
I'm loving it.
Let's be clear. Peggy just didn't one day decide to apply to MAST and learn computers and audio programming for the fun of it or because she had no other skills. To qualify for the grant, you have to be homeless or just about below the poverty line and over the age of being readily employable. There's a lot of criteria to be hired through MAST, none of which most of us would want.
And then do they find spots for you?
Yes, they find the jobs for you as well.
This is a talent you have, so I think this would be a good fit for
mm-hmm.
you.
Peggy's as colorful and adventurous as her accent, Rhode Island English with a southern twang. She started her lifelong career in the food industry in Pensacola, Florida.
First time, 13 years old, running a snack bar for the YMCA.
From there, she went on to be a waitress, bartender, manager, and a certified culinary chef. You name it. Peggy worked it all, the long hours on your feet, the transient staff, the low wage supplemented with hard-earned tips.
Yeah, I loved it. I did.
Peggy came up to Glacier National Park one summer and worked as a chef at a lodge there, and as many do, fell in love with Alaska. She moved to Anchorage, chefed at Snow City Cafe, Fletcher's, City Diner, Mixed Grill, all over. She even worked in Nome for a while for Nana, in charge of all the food service for Nome Public Schools. Ever hear the saying, work hard, play hard? That's Peggy.
I jumped off every bridge I could tie a rubber band to, and I loved bungee jumping and cliff diving and ultralights.
Well, you're
and
not kidding. You really
competitive
actually.
Beach volleyball and.
You get the picture. Peggy is more of a Tigger than she ever was a Piglet. In 2017, she decided to try her luck in Australia and ended up in Belize instead, as one does.
I wanted to go to Australia and see the Great Barrier Reef. I
but
loved to dive.
But you got on dive. The wrong plane.
No, I couldn't afford Australia in that flight.
So she did what anyone would do. She Googled Plan B for the second largest barrier reef.
And it came up Belize, the big blue hole. And I fell in love with the country and the people, and especially Key Cocker, the little island that I lived on.
When she wasn't cliff diving or scuba diving, she ran the Bondi Bar and Bistro. And everything was great until 2020.
And we heard about this strange new disease.
They keep hearing about the COVID pandemic. Europe closed down. America closed down. And then?
All of a sudden, we get the first case.
Belize closed down.
Key Calker, where I lived, is a tiny island of 2,000 people year-round. And 87% of the income on the island is generated through tourism. So that's a lot of people with no money all of a sudden. So I started a food kitchen, a soup kitchen, out of my restaurant. I did it 3 days a week for about 3 weeks.
It wasn't long before the city government and expats and other business owners developed a rotating soup kitchen between all the restaurants on the island. But here's the bottom line.
But I was, you know, I couldn't make money because it wasn't open. And I couldn't, you know, I didn't have enough money to open it and get it open. And so I had to close it down.
It was right about then an opportunity right here in the Matsu opened up to get a business going. She packed her bags and got on the plane. And you know what happened next?
And it fell through. And I was here 2 weeks when I ended up with double pneumonia. And that went into COPD, which I'm still fighting. But it was like everything just like...
From scuba diving to running a business to offering a soup kitchen.
And just pushed me against a wall.
Just eating was a chore. And now here, without a job and without her help.
And don't tell me it happened in the winter. Just
oh, yes.
Tell me it didn't.
It did.
She was broke. Totally broke. I mean, think about it. The food industry, busy, 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 busy. Move, 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 move. You know, 20,000 steps in an 8x6 area. You go all the time. So it must have been a real travesty to realize you couldn't even get up from the couch to the kitchen.
It really was. And like I said, it was so easy to just want to give up.
Remember Piglet and Pooh holding hands in the wind? Peggy's stubborn. That's her own words, by the way. Stubborn, loyal, and hardworking. But this time, instead of managing employees and taking care of customers, she had to take care of herself and manage the systems in place. It's not for the faint of heart, she'll tell you. We're never meant to be this alone. Then she saw a public service announcement on TV or something and picked up the phone. She was indeed braver than she believed.
I started off by calling 211. It basically, that is a government-funded number, and there's live operators, and they will help you find out what you can do. And basically, they connected me to Connect Matsu. And from Connect Matsu, because I'm in Palmer, they sent me over to Palmer Navigation.
Palmer Navigation is grant-funded and run by Daybreak. And you'll hear more about Daybreak in the second half of this show. It helps people facing all sorts of issues and connects them with local and state resources. In Peggy's case, it was like holding Winnie the Pooh's hand in a windstorm. First, there came Blood and Fire Ministries, and this is a faith-based ministry that's been in the Valley since 2005. Blood and Fire led to Knick House.
If it hadn't been for Blood and Fire Ministries and the Knick House where I stayed there in the homeless house, the women's house they have, for 3 months, and they helped me get what's called a stabilization grant through the U.S. government. And that paid my rent. Palmer Navigation, they gave me bus passes so that I could get to doctor's appointments.
Because you don't have a car.
No car. The biggest problem I had was that when I started looking, I was 60.
And she's 60. She has no car, she has no job, and she's really sick. And the biggest problem she found was that she hadn't been incarcerated. She wasn't a victim of domestic violence. She didn't have children, and she wasn't dependent on drugs or alcohol. And so she was falling in the cracks.
A lot of programs focus on that. And you find that people fall through the cracks a lot that way, you know? I mean, you can get in trouble and lose your housing. And it doesn't have to be because you were arrested or you were on drugs or anything like that. When you look at the homeless people wandering around the city, don't assume that they're bad people. They're not. I wasn't.
Not once, never, did Peggy ever think she'd have to ask for help.
That's a hard one. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the first thing that comes to mind is failure. Somehow you did it, or you didn't do.
But she was stronger than she seemed.
Hey, it's like a scary movie that you're too scared to watch the end of. I did this to myself as a teenager. For years, I could not watch the end of this movie. Every nightmare and every idea I had was so much scarier than what the real ending was. And that's what you're going to do to yourself mentally, is you're going to box yourself into believing that nothing good can happen. And there's the worst is going to happen. And unless you stop that train of thought and switch it around, you can fall into that. No matter how many no's you hear, you just got to keep going and keep going. And if they tell you no, that's fine. So say, well, do you know of another program I might qualify for? And that always moving forward. Well, a lot of it's my religious beliefs and just knowing that God's going to be there. Whatever I'm doing now, whatever I'm going through today or yesterday or will go through tomorrow, there's a reason for it. I'm either supposed to learn something from it, I'm supposed to meet somebody or something, and then tomorrow I'll be able to help somebody else.
I don't know, like starting a soup kitchen on a beach in Belize during a pandemic?
You're on the phone. 211 Matsu Connect, Kinnick House. Who helped you during the hardest parts?
Rachel, I'm calling you out. Rachel from Blood and Fire. She was also connected with Kinnick House. And she was, when I was feeling down, she was someone I could go to. And she would help me flip the script, as they say. And also, she was the one who got me into the stabilization program, which really helped. Yes, Kinnick House was a wonderful place, and please, if this is something you need, take advantage of it. Go out there, they will help you so much. But I mean, at my age, I don't want to live in bunk beds with a bunch of women. I was so happy to get my own place again and just have, a little bit of space. So
shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel.
At Matsu Health Services, there's a gal named Kathy. Peggy's caseworker. Helps her get her appointments, drives her to social services, waits hours to get her food stamps and other paperwork in, picks her up, drives her to all her doctor's appointments.
Yeah, it's a fantastic program that they have over there. And I don't know what they're going to do when Kathy retires.
Peggy is getting better and stronger with each and every day. It's taken 2 years. I don't think she'll be running a bar anytime soon or jumping off a cliff, but she says some of her health is back and the pain is managed. Now she's working on financial health and independence, one step at a time. And it won't surprise you, she's getting by with a little help from her friends.
Did you make friends along the way?
Yes. One of my best ones now actually lives right below me. And we met when we both moved in within a month of each other at the apartments that I'm at now. And we cook, we hang out, we go to thrift stores, we actually go to pain management together because she's dealing with a lot of the issues I am. So we do a lot together, riding around and just stuff like that.
Smarter than you think you are.
You can do more than you give yourself credit for. You can survive more. You can dream more. You can plan more, and you can achieve more.
One word I ask, just one word, to describe what it was like to be in that big pit and crawl your way out.
Community. That's what I found here in Palmer, is a community. There's a sense of community here and a sense of belonging to each other in Palmer that you don't find in a lot of places, in a lot of big cities and stuff like that.
You think you'll stay?
Yes. Yeah. I like Palmer. I do.
I think we're lucky. I think we're lucky to have you, without a doubt.
You've been listening to Voices of the Mat-Su. Coming up next, we get to know a young man who becomes more than he ever imagined and braver than he believed.
My name is Johnny Hammonds. Yep, I've been here about 34 years.
When you first meet Johnny, you can't help but notice his soft-spokenness and an aura of kindness. You just can't miss it. He's a behavioral health technician working the night shift at the Banyan Treatment Center in Wasilla. Banyan helps with a wide range of addictions and disorders.
We're able to be there to support the clients, you know, whenever we can.
So what do you bring to the job?
I would say mostly it's the compassion and understanding of, you know, where they came from. And, I mean, that would be the majority of it, for sure.
Because you were an addict?
Correct.
Johnny told me addiction is kind of like the old chicken or the egg first argument. Did the addiction create the mental distress or illness, or is it the other way around?
You know, it's maladaptive coping mechanisms. For me personally, it was a solution. You know, it was what I felt helped me, you know, deal with all of those things, because I didn't have the skills, you know, support. I didn't have, there were so many things in my life that I didn't have.
He's been clean and sober just shy of 2 years now.
I think that was actually one of the biggest things, is I never had a safe space, you know, but I strive to be a safe space for other people. I can share my experiences, you know, the things I've been through and have walked through, you know, and gotten to the other side of, or maybe something I'm walking through. But I figure, you know, if I've made one step further than another person and I could share that with them, then that can help them with the next step.
Johnny knows both sides of addiction, in and out.
I found something that worked, however temporarily, you know, and that was the thing is, you know, with any other addiction, it's temporary and it becomes a drive, and you have to, you know, pour a bunch of energy into it. And so basically it would shoot straight dopamine in, you know, and so it made me feel great, it made me feel awesome, you know, it was wonderful. It wasn't sustainable, you know, it would leave your system after a period of time and you would have to go chase more. But the biggest struggle, one of the biggest struggles I feel in coming into recovery is not being able to feel joy or get that natural reward response whenever you do accomplish things in life. You know, but when you're in recovery, especially fresh in recovery, you do something good and you're not going to get that natural feedback. You know, you don't get, because your dopamine receptors and everything else aren't firing, because they're not getting that thing that would give you dopamine.
Like doing the dishes is just not going to get you high.
Right, exactly. It's not going to make you feel good about anything because it's not, you know, stronger. It wasn't even a question of why don't I feel good when I do stuff. It was just the frustration. You know, I like, why do I have to learn how to reach out to people? Like, why do I have to, you know, do all these difficult things? But it's like, because there was no natural reward system. I wasn't getting anything back. It was just my brain wasn't telling me, oh, yeah, you're doing the right thing.
It feels, you know, good.
It feels good to do the good things.
Is it starting to feel good?
It is. It is.
It hasn't always felt good. Johnny was homeless at a very young age. He was struggling on all fronts. Daybreak Mental Health Services helped him off the street. Maybe you remember. Same organization helped Peggy. They've been helping folks in the Mat-Su since 1988.
And that's where I met, Howard.
Howard Best, founding pastor for the Church of the Covenant in downtown Palmer, and the founding member of the Palmer Arts Council and the Valley Christian Charities, and the founding member for Daybreak. Howard Best was the champion of all things community.
He was my best friend, and he took me in, you know, kind of under his wing, and
I can't help it. I've got that image again of Piglet holding Winnie the Pooh's hand in a windstorm.
You know, I got to know him over the course of the next few years, you know, and he believed in me, and that was so powerful. I didn't really understand why.
It would be so cool if that was the end of the story. Johnny finds a mentor, a home with Daybreak, and lives happily ever after. But our stories don't follow straight lines. Howard does reappear, so hang on. However, in the meantime, Johnny finds his distraction of choice: bad relationships and meth.
We had ended up homeless And we ended up camping down by the river here in Palmer.
It's the dead of winter, and his girlfriend is chasing her own addiction.
And ended up leaving me in the tent by myself. And I had curled up, and I just remember I didn't have any more energy to be upset about it, you know, because it was getting cold. It was so cold. So cold, you know, and I figured that was it. Like, that was it.
And it was just about then some friends appeared.
They pulled me out of the tent and threw me, you know, tossed me into the warm truck. And it's always been something that I'll never forget. That was one of those moments where I just knew that something else was watching out for me.
You know, higher powers tend to know how to show up. And showing up is all it takes sometimes.
But it's that moment where I was given that chance to keep going, regardless of how great of a decision it was to camp by the river or anything like that. Frankly, looking at it now, like, my perspective was maybe that I was doing it alone. But the fact is I wasn't. You know, even then, I wasn't. But on this side of things, I mean, there's a lot more to life when you're not doing it alone.
Like the time a friend called and asked Johnny how he was doing. Was he clean?
I actually ended up lying to that friend. I told them, yes, I am. Because it was to hang on to it, right? I couldn't even comprehend what that meant at the time. But I knew that it made me feel like there was hope in that. And so I just hung on to it, and, you know, things started taking off, and I knew that I had to do something different.
It's amazing what we can do when we're not alone.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that alone. I was terrified, you know, going into a place I wasn't.
This was at the Crisis Set Free program located on Bogard Road.
Old program that I had no idea.
Does Johnny's friend know what she did for him?
As a matter of fact, we're still good friends, and I'm very, very grateful for her in my life.
Had anyone believed in you before that, that you recognize?
Ugh, it's a tough one. I mean, my daughter always did, which I couldn't really understand either. I feel like there was a lot of people that did. A lot of people. I know that in recovery, there's a lot of people that have. I've had friends throughout my life. You know, the reality is even in when I was in my addiction, you know, there were people that were rooting for me. Man, almost every caseworker I've ever worked for, you know, believed in me. My teachers all believed in me. Something they always used to say was, you know, you have so much potential. Huh. So I guess the names elude me, but and see that the people actually have been there the whole time.
When did you know you were going to be clean for a while?
Honestly, this is the most powerful part of my story.
Fast forward, if you will, from the time Johnny was at Daybreak. Now he's living with Howard Best and his wife Darlene. She's struggling with Parkinson's.
And I was helping taking care of them. I'd gone out probably for about a day. He had called me a couple of times, asking me to come back home because, you know, he needed help. And I came back 12:30. He was sitting on the stool in the kitchen. And the first thing he asked me was, are you doing drugs again? I was almost 6 months clean. And I told him no, because that's what I did. You know, I lied when I was getting high. And I just remember he'd known me for 15 years or so, you know, and he wasn't angry. He's like, well, you know, I'm disappointed. You know, we need you to be here. You know, you have and we're going to go to bed and we're going to try to have a better day tomorrow. This was 12:30 in the morning. Like, he was up way late and was worried about me all day. You know, he said, we were worried about you. And just the calmness and I think the biggest thing that I took from it was that he didn't shame me, because way too often we shame ourselves. And today, when I show up for someone, that is not something I'm going to do. What he showed me in that moment.
With that, Howard went to bed. The next morning, he wanted to make sure Johnny was okay.
he came out and he asked me if I was okay, or he asked me how I was doing, and I said I was fine, and he said, no, you're not, and I broke down, and I told him the truth, and I said I was sorry for lying to him, and everything, it all came out, and I told him that I was using, and everything, and he just sat and he listened. And he's like, well, you know what you need to do. We're gonna try to have a better day today. Just like that. Like, we love you. You know, and he just, to show up with that much patience and kindness.
What would he say to you today?
I think he would be really proud of me.
Howard died in April of 2023, just 6 weeks after his wife Darlene. He was 95.
Honestly, since that moment, it's been relieved to me. Like, I haven't had an issue.
Really?
Don't get me wrong. I gotta stay vigilant, you know, always. For me to have gotten to this point in my life, you know, today, now, and been half the man that I am, like, it's unbelievable. You know, it's a testament to that. First of all, I couldn't have done it alone. I'm really grateful to be who I am today. I'm very grateful to be who I am today. I did everything that I could to make sure life didn't take these certain things from me. And one of them was kindness, because then it would win, you know? Like, then all of those unfortunate things would win. Like, yes, there was definitely some things that, you know, I did to survive, but you know, when I came out of a lot of that, the things that I held sacred, because I knew that if I lost those things, then I wouldn't be me anymore. You know?
One word. Just one word. What would it be? It can be two.
Self-grace. You gotta give yourself some grace.
Like Howard did.
Like Howard did. Just don't do it alone. It was never meant to be done alone.
Two people with distinct stories of rising above crisis and chaos, stories that share community and the strength that comes from belonging, kind of like holding hands on a stormy day. On this podcast, I've been privileged to know a lot of people's stories, and this one reminded me that together, we're braver than we believe. We're stronger than we seem, and we're smarter than we think. And most of all, we are loved more than we'll ever know. And that's it for today's episode of Voices in the Mat Suit. Thank you to all the community support systems that work hard for our most in need. Those wanting to know more about services available in the Valley, your easiest access is to call Connect Mat Suit at 907-373-2628. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit better. Special thanks to the Big Cabbage Editorial Board and sound editor Emma Keechley. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Mat Suit.
This was Voices of the Mat Suit, sharing stories told by those who live in the Mat Suit borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Mat Suit Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Mat Suit do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Mat Suit Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.